Hi and welcome to another edition of Visions. I am Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and today I'm very pleased to be chatting with Mr. Leroy Williams. Many of you may have known him as a basketballer, a field hockey player, very active sportsman, but we also know that he's a father, a husband, a grandfather, and a faithful volunteer within the disabled community, particularly with Special Olympics, Blind Cricket Association of Barbados, and Paralympics. Welcome to the program, Leroy.
Thank you very much, Julie.
So, Leroy, tell us about your involvement, how you came to be involved with Special Olympics and later on Blind Cricket and then Paralympics, three sporting organizations all geared at encouraging and facilitating people with disabilities.
Well, I started about 1995, and that was kind of accidentally. Because of my involvement in basketball, I was recommended to the World's Olympics Special Olympics body to referee basketball in that year, 1995, in Connecticut. And that was the beginning of my life in disabled sports.
So tell us about that experience in 1995 when you refereed a basketball game, and this was for wheelchair users, right?
Yes. No, that one was not for wheelchair. That was for, I wouldn't want to say normal players, but no
average. Yeah, average players.
Yes. But it was a very eye-opener for me, because here I'm seeing players, in some instances I've seen a player with one hand and he's playing basketball. I accustomed seeing players with 2 feet, two hands. I saw a one amputee player. And this really made me feel a way, to the point that when I came back home, I tried to get Olympic sports organized in Barbados to the extent where we can develop our athletes. And I started with basketball, but that didn't materialize because of the lack of athletes, and that fell through.
So then, where did you focus your attention?
Well, then I started still with Special Olympics, but I then started to coach floor hockey. And that was another game that I was very interested in. And we had a floor hockey team. We practiced very much. And then we went to Canada, and that was in 1997, to World's Winter Games. And We played that tournament.
So what was that experience like, going up to Canada to play during the winter period when in Barbados we're not accustomed to a real cold season like
it was very cold. But no, we did not bring back a cup. But we played our hearts out, and that was about the first time that we won a game in that at that level. Mm-hmm. So that was our achievement.
Right, and I believe that would have motivated the athletes to want to do more.
Oh yes. But coming back home then, we realized that practice sessions became less and less, for the simple reason that we couldn't find places that we can practice and practice as we want to. And we had to be moving from place to place. So that hampered us. Mm-hmm. And then the athletes, they grew and they got big, and they started then not to attend practice as they should. And that aspect of Special Olympics, as far as I was concerned, dwindled away and just ended.
Okay. But then what would have been involved in the practice? Because sometimes I think when people see the athletes, they generally do not think very deeply of the training dieting discipline that is involved in preparing the athlete to get to the world level?
Well, that is true to some extent. But despite the difficulty in having places to practice, like you said, I told you the athletes got big and they grew and they probably started to do other things, and you know, it was difficult then to get them coming to practice as they used to. And then especially after having that tournament in Canada and winning the game, maybe they thought we won a World Cup or something like that. And they developed the attitude then of, okay, well, I'll come when you want to, I'll come, you know. And it became frustrating to have to keep on begging them and pleading with them and things like that. So like I said, they dropped off one by one and there was no floor hockey practice anymore.
Okay, so then you would have ventured into other disciplines?
Yes, but not at Special Olympics, because one, I didn't get the basketball going. Two, the floor hockey stopped. Then I went to Paralympics. Mm-hmm. I was also coaching Paralympics and we did swimming there. I also wanted to get the wheelchair basketball going, but again, because of athletes, we couldn't get that going. We wanted to get the normal games for Paralympians. But again, it is difficult when you don't have facilities where you can have these things done. But I wouldn't blame that only. Again, we had very few athletes in Paralympics who were interested in wheelchair basketball or anything else for that matter. One of the athletes that he thought was outstanding was David. I don't remember his last name.
Taylor. David Taylor. Young swimmer. Taylor.
Well, yes, he kept on with his swimming and he represented Barbados. But that is it as far as Paralympics is concerned.
So we recognize that having the facilities, the area to do the training and practicing for the various sports is problematic. Do you think that transportation also would have been problematic in having some of these athletes, potential athletes, coming out to practice?
Yes, that was a problem as well, because lack of transportation and getting it where you want it. Yes, that was a big problem. Mm-hmm. So we find that we couldn't do things that we want to do when we want to do them. But then after that session with Paralympics, then 2002, I think it was, yes, 2002, there was a home show at the then
Sherbourne, which is now Lloyd Erskine Center.
Yes. And at that home show, we had some demonstrations. One was again with the same wheelchair basketball, and the other one was on cricket for the blind. And that was a telling demonstration, because out of that demonstration bore the Barbados Blind Cricket Association. And that was long in coming. We had to do a lot of things. We formed ourselves together. I remember Carrie-Anne Eiffel, she was there. Cleveland Mears, he was there. And after the demonstration, having a chat with them. And a couple of days after, we got together. And I offered myself as a volunteer. And they accepted. And I started working with Barbados Blind Cricket. Well, it wasn't the association then, but with Cricket for the Blind in Barbados.
So tell us a bit more about the Cricket for the Blind Cricket, as we would call it. What is involved in this sport?
Well, it's similar to normal cricket, strange enough, but we got together, formed we had a group got together, we formed the Barbados Blind Cricket Association, and out of that then I happened to be coach again, and I started getting the team together, practicing. We started practicing then at YNPC. They allowed us to practice there because the Blind Association was just next door. We applied and they accepted, and we practiced there. Then we shifted to the rim of sports club, and we had permission to practice there after that. And that gave us a good setting then for what we had to do. Like any other sport, discipline and training. And that is what we had to do at the beginning. We continued doing that until through Mr. Mears and the Barbados Team Association getting together. We then tried to form a West Indies team and the West Indies Cricket Board and all that we did, and ended up having a West Indies cricket team. We had countries, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, Barbados, Guyana, Windward and Leeward Islands. So we had a whole West Indies Blind Cricket Association.
And I remember vividly that as part of the promotion to encourage blind persons or visually impaired persons to get involved with the sport, there were quite a few promotional games,
yes,
against the celebrity team and
very
other types
so.
Of teams to help encourage persons to get involved.
Yes, very much so. When I think of those times, it gave me so much joy because, like you said, Yuli, we had these promotional games and you had people passing by Weymouth on evenings and just to see the blind cricketers practice. And we used to travel the country with those promotional games. And these games were against sighted people, because we were the only black cricket team in Barbados. These games were against sighted people. And we had a build-up and a following that you could not believe.
Well, Leroy, I think for any game to really take off, you must have some promotion to encourage people to understand the game and to get a liking for it.
Well, we do this, and even the players themselves, we had to do a lot of training with them. Because, I mean, some of them didn't even play cricket before. But to get them involved is not very hard. It's not very difficult. You just have to talk to them. With coaching the blind cricketers, there is a lot of talking. You talk and explain to them, and there are times that you have to let them feel the demonstration. You know, you have to let them feel your position and feel your movements and things of that nature. And I was very happy with the response, and I must say that with the help of Mr. Mears and Kerry Ann Eiffel and Roseanne Tudor, I think was her name, Mrs. Roseanne Tudor, she was involved. She was part of the founding committee. And, you know, these are people who work behind the scenes, so to speak. But then when we started the cricket, then we developed to the point where there was the West Indies Cricket Association then. And we played the very first tournament here in Barbados. That tournament was played in Barbados. But, like I said, again, the number of athletes. We had 13 or so players that we had to choose from. And it wasn't a wide selection. So we, 1, 2, 3, we had them. You know, it was not a wide selection. Whereas the other teams, say for Jamaica, for instance, they had a whole group of players because they would have had a blind school and things of that nature, and Guyana would have been similar, but Barbados was the only team that had about, we can handpick our players. We had no difficulty.
Okay.
You know, that was about it.
So, as you said, we really have to salute Mr. Clayton Mears for really promoting the sport here and not only promoting it, but ensuring that the financial backing was there to have the training, the gear, and the travel expenses covered.
Yes, very much so. I mean, I myself don't know how he got it done, but it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, Leroy, let's talk about some of the actual training, the preparation for the athletes. Were they placed on diets And I'm speaking now not only of the blind cricketers, but also those Special Olympians and the Paralympians. Would they have to, you know, look at their diet in terms of the vitamins they use, the carbs they use, things like that?
Well, that would have been a big part of the program. But unfortunately, finance was always a problem for those players. So we try to minimize it to the point where we try to let them do the best they can and monitor what they're doing. And that's how we happen to get through.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say that the cricket itself developed to the point where we, in 2006, the West Indies team was selected and went to its first World Games in the Pakistan. That was the first time we went to Pakistan. And we played, we didn't win any games because we were playing against teams like England, Australia, Pakistan, you know, teams that were playing before.
Yeah, many years before.
World level.
Yes.
World level.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first tournament we had. We were quite, so then we came back and we had another Caribbean tournament. But then that was not as good as the first one because some of the teams did not come up to the marks that we wanted them to.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 2006, we had a development West Indies team going off to England. And I was coach of that team as well. And that was hoping that the development of blind cricket in the West Indies when that team returned would have been better and flourishing. But again, that did not happen because we started losing some of the athletes. You know, somewhere along the line, we always lose athletes after a couple of years.
And I remember reading only recently that both India and Australia have gone almost semi-professional with their blind cricket,
mm-hmm.
blind cricketers. So those cricketers are paid, you know, a fee for being part of the team and representing the countries.
Yes, yes.
So I think Barbados and by extension the Caribbean probably need to look at this as one of those areas for future development.
Well, that would be good, but to be honest with you, I don't see us getting that far for the simple reason that right now in Barbados, as I know, we don't see or hear much about blind cricket.
Well, we have to do a lot of work in the area of sport development in relation to persons with disabilities and not just see it as a game, but see it as a way of life, a way of keeping our people with disabilities fit.
Yes.
And keep maintaining their own good health and
yes.
wellness.
Yes, I can agree with you. But you see, it's all up to the associations and the volunteers. The volunteers, in my view, we don't have that many volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the volunteers have to be very supportive of the disabilities and the disabled persons. And at the same time, they have to understand that as volunteers, it's going to take a lot of their attention to be involved in what is to be done.
Well, as a colleague, a friend of mine would usually say, if you're involved in something, it means that you're giving 100%. And that is what is required, not only from the athletes, but also from the volunteers, the coaching staff, everybody needs to give 100%.
I agree with you. And I don't know much about the blind cricket now, to be honest with you, because I'm not involved in that anymore. But the things that I'm involved in now is nothing much. I don't get involved. But my experience is that the volunteerism for the disabled community is not what it used to be and is not what it should be. And we have to do a lot of work in those areas to get the persons with disabilities really involved However we do it, we've got to get them involved, let them know it's for their benefit, and to help them to be strong and healthy and everything that.
Well, many things will have to be considered, Leroy, because in our current economic status, you know, it will be challenging for an athlete to pay quite a huge sum of money for transport and then still have to maintain their health and wellness by using vitamins and eating the right foods and so on. So it calls for, as you're saying, lots of volunteers to give up their time, to also give up their skills, and for some of the companies in Barbados to also contribute significantly in helping the athletes to develop. I mean, recently we would have seen Shane Brathwaite winning a gold at the Pan Am Games. And that would have taken years of training, years of diet, correct dieting and eating nutritiously and so on to bring him to this stage. And this is where we want to see our Paralympians, our Special Olympians, our blind cricketers, all the athletes with disabilities.
Yes, I can agree with you. And I would hope that the National Disabilities Unit or whoever is this main source can work to the point where they can get those quality volunteers to come in and help. Because, like you said, there's a lot of work.
And Barbados can do it. We definitely can do it. We've proven that we can do it. So it's just a matter of the commitment.
Yes, I agree with you.
Well, Leroy, you said that you have retired from volunteering. And I want to say thank you very much. Because quite often we don't get the opportunity to really publicly thank many of the volunteers who would have worked with Special Olympics, Paralympics, Blind Cricket, and other organizations working to uplift the disabled. And back in the 80s, 90s, when the stigma and the discrimination was even a bit stronger than presently, it meant that you really had to work doubly hard to locate facilities for training, to get other volunteers to commit or work with the disabled, and to also get persons with disabilities to break that barrier and get involved. So I really want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, not only on my behalf, because I would have met you many years ago and you would have been very supportive and helpful, not only to those sporting groups, but to disabled people generally. You would have provided transport to so many different functions. And as we pointed out earlier, that is so crucial to our own freedom of movement.
I want to say thank you very much. And I am very delighted to be able to acknowledge your congratulations. And I am still open if you need me and there's anything. Don't hesitate to call.
So, Leroy, we are winding up the program. Any final comments you would want to say before we close?
Well, I would hope that I can see the disabled community on the right track. I hope that they will be able to see and would even want to help still, despite my saying earlier that I might be resigning or whatever. But I would still want to help if I can. But I would like to see them on the right track. I would like to see some of the things that we talk about redevelop. The Paralympics, we'd like to see that function. I mean, they were swimming. They were swimming. You know, there were games that we wanted to implement. There was Special Olympics, there was the floor hockey. Where are these athletes? If we can get them back into the field, back in out there on the courts, and we need volunteers, we will push for volunteers, and I will hope that I can see a future in the disabled community as far as sports are concerned.
Well, Leroy, I want to say a very special thank you for coming and sharing with me today and letting the public learn about some of the sports that were done in previous years and really look at how we can redevelop sports for people with disabilities in Barbados.
Thank you.
As I close this program, I just want to encourage you, the listener, to get involved. The Special Olympics, the Paralympics Association of Barbados, those organizations are there that you can reach out to them and commit to giving your support, financial or otherwise. Secondly, I also want to extend my condolences to and that of the organizations I'm involved with to the family of the late Bonita Phillips, former president of the Multiple Sclerosis Society of Barbados, as well as the Barbados Council for the Disabled. She was laid to rest last Wednesday, August the 14th. So I just want to encourage the family to keep the faith and believe that she is resting peacefully. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. Remember, today I want to say thanks to my technical operator, David Johnson. And you remember, you can contact me on 1246-430-7300 via Starcom. Or you can WhatsApp me or call me on the mobile phone on 1246-269-9660. And you can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is VISIONS. BARBADOS@gmail.com. So until next week, when we meet again, do enjoy.